And there are, in fact, I discovered three. One is the kinds of disease which are the ones that have killed about 70% of human beings on this planet, which come in through the mouth. We get infected with bacteria by food and water. So these are the real great killers. And today, now, well over half the people in hospitals in the world are suffering from these diseases. And they are dysentery, both kinds, amoebic, and the other kind of dysentery, typhoid and cholera. Now, typhoid and cholera come in sort of spasms. Dysentery is a bacillary and amoebic are perennial diseases. And most people in much of the developing world have them on and off all the time. I almost died of dysentery when I was very small, 2 or 3 years old. And if the Americans hadn't had the latest antibacterial treatments, which had only just been invented a few years before by Lister and others, I would have died then. And many people die of them. Many infants die of dysentery. So there are the waterborne diseases. And I'll just talk about those briefly and then move on to the others. The waterborne diseases are caused, as I say, by bad water, bad drinking above all, because cholera and dysentery and typhoid come in mainly through water. And therefore, the way in which human beings have finally dealt with these, once they discovered what the causes were, which wasn't until the mid-19th century or later 19th century when you had powerful microscopes and you could see what it was. What they had to do was deal with the water supplies or what people drank. That was even more important than food. Food gets infected, but it's really water that you're thinking about. And I discovered that the two places I was comparing, which was Japan and England, had, to a considerable extent, and amazingly, dealt with the waterborne diseases quite early in two or three different ways. One was the water supplies in Japan were quite reasonable. The wells were deep and they carried the water along bamboo pipes and so on. So the water supplies were quite good. And likewise, in England, we had a lot of rain and a lot of fresh water supplies and so on. So water was reasonable and not too much stagnant water and so on. But much more important than that was what you actually drank. And I have talked about this at length.
It's tea, isn't it?
basically beer and tea. Right. So if you don't drink water, and the British didn't drink cold water on the whole, for century after century. First of all, it was beer and then it was tea. And if you don't drink something that can contaminate you, because both beer and tea have antibacterials in them, that's why Pasteur did his PhD on beer, because he discovered it had things that killed bacteria. And so basically, waterborne diseases were largely conquered by that. And the other part of it was how you deal with human waste, because typhoid and cholera in particular and dysentery they multiply very much in human sewage. And here again, at the two ends of Eurasia, the two great solutions to what to do with human waste were invented. At the Japanese end, they were the people who are reputed to have invented toilet paper very early, sort of over 1,000 years ago. They were using the wonderful Japanese paper. And they also had extremely good toilets, because they placed the toilet above a large porcelain bowl, or in the streets in Japan, they would place porcelain bowls in the houses because in Japan, they were very short of nutrients for the fields. And therefore, all the feces and urine was carefully collected and taken out and allowed to decompose a while and then put on the fields. And so the streets and the houses were very, very, very clean for century after century. And so in my book, I wrote one of the first chapters I've come across called Human Excrement or some such, how to deal with. So because I became a man called Morse, wrote the man who also was great on Japanese houses, he wrote an article on how excrement was dealt with in the East and West. And he alerted me to this. So Japan dealt with the toilet problem in one way. At the other end of the Eurasia, the British, I think the Romans probably had pretty good systems too, but the British are reputed as having invented the first flushing toilets. And I'm proud to say that my college at Cambridge, King's College, Cambridge, not only produced Alan Turing and John Maynard Keynes, but also the man who invented the flushing toilet, Sir John Harrington. Sir John Harrington was a courtier of Queen Elizabeth, and he was a notable scholar, classic scholar, and he was at Eton and King's. And on his estate, he installed a flushing toilet, and he wrote a book called Ajax, which is from where the jakes, the term for toilets, comes. And some people say when the Americans talk about going to the John, they're talking about Sir John Harrington. Anyway, Sir John Harrington invented the flushing toilet. Of course, no one in King's knows this, although I'm always trying to encourage the college to get some Japanese toilet maker to make the Sir John Harrington Memorial Toilet somewhere beside the chapel there and attract toilet fans from around the world. Anyway, so the English and the Japanese dealt with waterborne disease pretty effectively. They couldn't really deal with cholera. And that swept, cholera is mainly a 19th century phenomenon, and it swept through both Japan and England from time to time. But those waterborne diseases are terribly important now. People forget that half the hospital beds in the world are being clogged up with waterborne disease people. Maybe not now in the time of COVID, but so if we can deal with that, clean water or some alternative would make a vast difference, particularly to child infant mortality. And it's a great thing that we've had the good fortune to escape from that.
Is this something that, when, again, the empire was spreading out, is this something that we exported? Did the Asia...
Well, we didn't. I don't think we effectively exported the toilet. Mm. Indeed, the toilet situation in India, certainly until recently, was scandalous. There's a lovely film called Q, the letter Q, the numeral 2, and then the letter P, Q to P, because it's about how in India you have to queue if you're going to a public toilet. There are very few of them, and of course, those who clean them out are the lowest caste. And much of rural India, there are hardly any toilet provisions at all, and people go out into the fields and so on. And the Indians also had the added problem that they didn't tend to use human feces on agriculture. It was very polluting. And therefore, they didn't deal with that in the way that they did further east. So I think, I mean, obviously the British Raj, you know, the bungalows I was brought up in and so on, they would have some sort of toilet. And the one thing they did do was to take beer. Sarah tells me that there was a lot of talk of beer in Victorian India, that the British troops were given beer And I think they were aware that beer was something that prevented dysentery in some intuitive way. And so that was spread, but not otherwise as far as I know. I'm sure Australia and the white colonies took the British toilet system with them, as they did to America.